Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, December 1st, 2021. Coming up this hour,
global stocks rebound from yesterday's losses.
Traders reassess the outlook for Fed policy.
Travel restrictions come hot and heavy in response to the Omicron variant.
And the White House suffers a legal defeat on vaccine mandates.
Three students are dead from a Michigan high school shooting. Plus, contempt charges in the Capitol riot could come today for former DOJ official Jeffrey Clark. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashow in sports. The Nets won a tight game with the Knicks, and Giants quarterback Daniel Jones may not play on Sunday.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 106.1 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and global stocks are rebounding from yesterday's losses. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 56 points, Dow futures up 318, NASDAQ futures up 228, 10-year Treasury down 15 30 seconds, yield 1.49%, the yield on the 2-year 0.59%, and NYMEX crude oil up 4.4%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, remarks from Jay Powell were the catalysts for yesterday's sell-off. The S&P 500 slumped nearly 2% after Powell said the Fed could end its bond-buying program sooner than expected.
The economy is very strong, and inflationary pressures are high, and it is therefore appropriate, in my view, to consider wrapping up the taper of our asset purchases, which we actually announced at the November meeting, perhaps a few months sooner.
Chairman Powell also acknowledged rising inflation, saying it's now time to stop describing price increases as transitory.
The word transitory has different meanings to different people. I think it's probably a good time to retire that word and try to explain more clearly what we mean.
Jay Powell also weighed in on the new Omicron variant of COVID-19, saying it could pose a risk to the economic outlook.
Well, up next, Nathan, Jay Powell and Janet Yellen testify to the House Financial Services Committee. Republican Congressman Frank Lucas of Oklahoma will be among those asking questions. He wants the Fed chair and Treasury secretary to address the debt ceiling and President Biden's economic agenda.
Is BBB really paid for? We have to look at how is Treasury and the Fed going to respond to this dramatic increase in the debt ceiling. I mean, when we went from $20 trillion at the beginning of COVID to $29 trillion national debt now, that's a huge amount of money pumped out into the economy. Of course you're going to have inflation. The debt ceiling question, what is the real date? It's going to be a really lively hearing.
Congressman Frank Lucas spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Ahead of that hearing, Karen, we get the first of three reports of the week on the labor market. Economists predict data from ADP will show a gain of 525,000 private jobs in November. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
October's ADP data showed a gain of 571,000 jobs, the most since June. Bloomberg Economics says recent data imply more strength, signaling employment gains over the next few months, with pandemic holdouts returning to the labor force. Also on today's agenda, the market and ISM factory reports and the Federal Reserve's regional economic survey, the Beige Book, anticipate more evidence of inflation. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Well, outside of jobs data, markets are laser-focused on the Omicron variant. As cases spread, travel restrictions are taking hold across the globe. And we get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Japan's largest airline operators are halting all new inbound bookings for this month. Overseas Japanese nationals and foreigners who currently don't hold bookings will be barred from entering the country. Canada tightened travel restrictions. It will now require all air travelers into Canada from countries other than the U.S. to test at the airport, whether they're vaccinated or not. Malaysia expanded its travel ban, and parts of India have imposed a 7-day quarantine for passengers arriving from nations declared at risk. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. We're also learning the White House plans to tighten travel restrictions as well. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports an announcement is planned this week.
The first step is increased testing. all air travelers to the U.S. to be tested within a day of their departure, regardless of vaccination status. Current rules have tests 3 days before. This is reported to be on top of the travel restrictions that have barred arrivals from foreign nationals who have been in any of 8 South African nations in the past 14 days. So far, the ruling does not specify the type of tests, meaning rapid tests could be used. President Joe Biden is slated to announce the new requirements in a speech tomorrow. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Now more COVID news this morning. The White House has suffered a setback on vaccine mandates. A federal court has blocked the Biden administration from enforcing a requirement that all healthcare workers get shots. The court says the government lacks authority to issue the rule.
Well, booster shots have been approved for all adults, Karen, and now Pfizer wants to give third shots to older teens. The company's asking the FDA to approve boosters for 16 and 17-year-olds. That's according to CEO Albert Bourla.
Well, Nathan, as regulators weigh Pfizer's request, it looks like the FDA advisors are giving the green light to Merck and its new COVID pill. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The Food and Drug Administration's advisory committee voted 13-10 to back Merck's antiviral drug, molnupiravir, saying the benefits outweighed the risks. The pill is intended to treat mild to moderate COVID-19 in adults at risk of developing severe illness. Merck developed the treatment with partner Ridgeback Biotherapeutics. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Back to politics for a moment, and a big day at the Supreme Court. The most direct challenge to abortion rights in years goes before the High Court this morning. Elisa Parenti has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The High Court will hear arguments on a Mississippi law banning abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. The restrictions are more stringent than those previously upheld by the court. They're also hard to square with Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion in 1973. A decision upholding Mississippi's ban would give states new license to slash abortion access, and a ruling overturning Roe would render the procedure mostly illegal in much of the country. In Washington, I'm Elisa Parenti, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Elisa, thanks. On Wall Street, futures are moving higher. S&P futures up 52 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 42 degrees in Central Park. We got big backups on the Cross Bronx Expressway thanks to late clearing road work on the George Washington Bridge. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. High school students in Michigan are trying to come to grips with a school shooting yesterday that killed 3 fellow students. 8 others were wounded, including a teacher. They are in critical condition, 3 of them. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer briefly choked back tears as she spoke to reporters at the scene.
I think this is every parent's worst nightmare.
A 15-year-old sophomore was taken into custody at Oxford High School in suburban Detroit. Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard says deputies encountered the suspect in a hall with 7 rounds still left in his gun.
When they took it from him, he had a loaded firearm and he was coming down the hall. That, again, I believe, interrupted what potentially could have been 7 more victims.
Sheriff Bouchard says the gun the suspect used was purchased by his father just days earlier. Lawyers for former President Donald Trump continue their fight to stop Congress from gaining access to documents related to the January 6th Capitol riot. Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, has now decided to cooperate. A federal judge ruled earlier this month that the records could be turned over. Today, the committee is set to decide whether to seek a contempt charge against former DOJ official Jeffrey Clark. All 3 Muslim members of Congress addressed reporters last night to demand accountability for Republican Representative Lauren Boebert's recent anti-Muslim remarks. Representatives Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and Andre Carson also discussed the urgent need to end Islamophobia. Omar says she has received hundreds of death threats that she says are often triggered by Republican attacks.
It is time for the Republican Party to actually do something, to confront anti-Muslim hatred in its ranks and hold those who perpetuate it accountable.
Last week in a Twitter video, Boebert referred to Omar as a member of the Jihad Squad. Celebrity physician Mehmet Oz, who hosts the Dr. Oz TV show, is entering next year's Republican primary in Pennsylvania to replace retiring U.S. Senator Pat Toomey. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. The first Knicks-Nets game of the season, not decided until the very end. Brooklyn was up by 16 in the third quarter. Knicks came back to lead by 4. The game was tied with under 2 minutes to play.
Harden moves into the front court. James with a burst and a bump and a kick out. Right wing Durant pulls up, 18-footer is gone! Nets regain the lead. Timeout, Knicks! With 1:36 remaining.
WFAN, the call. They were later tied at 110 when the Knicks ran a double team at Durant, so he passed to James Johnson, who was fouled by Mitchell Robinson, and Johnson's two free throws with 2 seconds left won it for the Nets. 112-110. Durant, 27 points. He had 11 in the last 6 minutes. James Harden went for 34, all but 6 coming in the first half. Alec Burks, now in the starting lineup, led the Knicks with 25 points. Julius Randle, 24, but Randle was called for a costly technical foul late in the game. Knicks were not happy. The Nets attempted twice the number of free throws. Big game in Phoenix. The Suns beat the Warriors. So both teams now 18-3. The Suns have won 17 in a row. Lakers won by 25 at Sacramento without LeBron James. He was injured, and then he missed a game with a suspension, and now LeBron, who is vaccinated, is in COVID protocol. Devils in Newark lost to San Jose 5-2. College hoops, Duke ranked number 1, won't stay there. Blue Devils lost at Ohio State. Also in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, Rutgers beat Clemson 74-64. Ron Harper scored 23. Syracuse beat Indiana in double overtime. The Giants may not have Daniel Jones Sunday in Miami. It was revealed he suffered a neck strain on the second play of last Sunday's game. If he can't go, it'll be backup quarterback Mike Glennon. John Stanshauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. S&P futures now up 52 points. Dow futures up 290. NASDAQ futures higher by 218 points. So looks like stocks could claw back some of their losses after Chairman Powell's comments yesterday. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly to mostly cloudy today, low 40s. Chance for a shower tomorrow, low 50s. We'll be back in the upper 40s Friday under a partly sunny sky. Currently 42 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are rebounding along with U.S. stock index futures as traders assess the latest news about the Omicron variant and the Federal Reserve's signal of stepped up efforts to curb elevated inflation. Bonds are declining, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 51 points, Dow futures up 280, NASDAQ futures up 211. The DAX in Germany is up 1.4%. The 10-year Treasury down 14/32, yields 1.49%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.58%. NYMEX crude oil is up 4.3%, up $2.84 at $69.03 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $8.80 at $17.85.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1332 against the dollar. British pound 1.3319. And the yen's at 113.41. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The fate of Roe v. Wade hangs in the balance as the Supreme Court hears arguments today on the Mississippi law that would ban abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. At least 26 states are expected to restrict abortion if the Supreme Court overturns Roe. A 15-year-old suspect in a deadly shooting at a Michigan high school is not talking to authorities for now. The Oakland County Sheriff's Department says the sophomore opened fire yesterday at Oxford High School, killing 3 students and wounding 8 others. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Knicks 112-110. The Suns beat the Warriors 104-96. That's 17 straight wins for Phoenix. In the NHL, the Devils, Bruins, and Capitals all lost. A COVID outbreak among the Islanders postponed their game against the Penguins. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and with COVID, inflation, and now a change in tone from the Federal Reserve, markets are heading into a very interesting trading day. Let's get a preview now. Michael Hewson joins us once again, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. Michael, good morning. It looks like, at least on Wall Street, equities could be clawing back some of the losses from yesterday after Chairman Powell's testimony. Do you think the sell-off when it comes to the outlook was overdone?
Yeah, I think there's probably a case to be made that it could well have been. The initial sell-off that we saw, obviously, the end of last week, perhaps it was tempered by the low liquidity levels post-Thanksgiving. I think there was an awful lot of uncertainty about the Omicron variant, how contagious it is, and probably more so, whether it would result in increased hospitalizations and fatalities. And at the moment, anecdotally, there doesn't appear to be any significant rise in hospitalizations and fatalities as a result of that. So I think those concerns about Omicron are starting to die away a little bit. Now, obviously, that could change if the data comes in. But at the moment, I think the main focus is really what was happening pre-Thanksgiving. And obviously, the Federal Reserve's policy with respect to a faster taper.
Did the chairman add more uncertainty to that outlook by testifying yesterday that we could see a faster taper and that we should be retiring the phrase transitory?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I actually looked back on my notes prior to Thanksgiving, and on the morning of the Fed minutes, I wrote that the Federal Reserve was already seeing an awful lot more hawkish voices on the FOMC, Bullard, St. Louis Fed, Raphael Bostic at the Atlanta Fed. And then we had Mary Daly of the San Francisco Fed, who said she was open to accelerating the pace of the taper program in comments that she made on the Wednesday, the 24th of November. Now, this was obviously prior to all of this Omicron stuff. So if you sort of push aside the Omicron stuff, the Fed was already moving in that direction. And I think yesterday's comments were by Powell were just a reiteration of that. Obviously, he did acknowledge the fact that there were downside risks that Omicron could actually bring to the table. But I think the Fed was already moving to an accelerated taper even before Omicron. And yesterday's comments are really merely a reiteration of that. And I think if we get decent jobs reports today and Friday, that will add weight, I think, to the fact that the Fed will accelerate the tapering program and potentially bring back the prospect of two rate hikes next year. And that's essentially what we've seen. We've seen that repricing take place over the course of the past 10 days. And yes, it has been choppy, but if Omicron hadn't happened, then we'd still be having that conversation.
So how should investors be reacting to the prospect of a more hawkish Fed, of the possibility for maybe three. We've been hearing from some participants calling for three rate hikes next year.
I don't think we can think about rate hikes yet. The Fed is still adding to its balance sheet, albeit at a slower pace. You know, and the Fed will continue to double down on the fact that they are data dependent. So I think really the big question is, do they have a conversation on tapering at the December meeting, and do they accelerate it? I don't think we can think too far ahead when it comes to the economic picture at this point in time. The situation, as we found over the course of the past few days, is very, very fluid. So I'm still of the opinion at the moment that we just buy the dips until such times as the data tells us otherwise.
In our last 30 seconds here, then, is there a possibility that we could just get another announcement of an accelerated taper, or are we thinking that the taper is going to happen in this month's meeting?
I think the taper will happen. I think there will be a discussion. I think it could well jump to $30 billion in December, assuming that we get a decent payrolls report. And I see no reason why we shouldn't. Weekly jobless claims at 199,000, lowest level since 1969. I think the US economy is looking pretty good. And I think the Fed does need to do something about inflation expectations, because a PCE at around about 3.6 to 4%, they need to get on top of the inflation narrative, and there is a perception that they are behind the curve on that.
Yeah, it sounds like this jobs report coming up on Friday and the data we're going to get today and tomorrow ahead of that could be key to all that decision making. Michael Hewson, great to get your insights as always. Michael Hewson is Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. S&P futures up 51 points, Dow futures up 289, NASDAQ futures higher by 210 points. Straight ahead, more on the hawkish turn, plus tougher travel rules coming in response to Omicron. All that in minutes on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, partly to mostly cloudy, low 40s today, chance for a shower, low 50s tomorrow. We'll be back under partly sunny skies and upper 40s for highs on Friday. Right now, 42 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are rebounding from yesterday's losses. The Fed is in focus after Jay Powell said the central bank could end its bond buying program sooner than expected.
The economy is very strong and inflationary pressures are high, and it is therefore appropriate, in my view, to consider wrapping up the taper of our asset purchases, which we actually announced at the November meeting, perhaps a few months sooner.
Chair Powell also weighed in on the new Omicron variant of COVID-19, saying it could pose a risk to the economic outlook.
Now, markets are still laser focused on the new strain, Karen, and as cases spread, travel restrictions are taking hold around the globe. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John?
Good morning, Nathan. Japan's largest airline operators have halted all new inbound bookings for this month. Canada will now require all inbound air travelers from countries other than the U.S. to test at the airport, whether they're vaccinated or not. President Biden is expected to announce new pre-boarding testing requirements. Sources say all air travelers to the U.S. will have to be tested within a day of their departure, regardless of vaccination status. The U.S. has already barred arrivals from foreign nationals who've been in any of 8 Southern African nations in the past 14 days. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Well, as fears over the Omicron variant spread, the White House has suffered a setback on vaccine mandates. A federal court has blocked the Biden administration from enforcing a requirement that all healthcare workers get shots. The court says the government lacks authority to issue the rule.
Well, booster shots have been approved for all adults, and now Pfizer wants to give third shots to older teens. The company's asking the FDA to approve boosters for 16 and 17-year-olds, according to CEO Albert Bourla.
Well, as regulators weigh Pfizer's request, Nathan, it looks like FDA advisors are giving the green light to Merck's new COVID pill. The treatment narrowly gained an advisory committee recommendation after a lengthy debate about its safety. The group said there are safety concerns, but potential benefits outweigh the risks. They voted 13 to 10 to approve the pill.
Well, after yesterday's sell-off on Wall Street, futures look to gain back some of those losses. S&P futures are up 53 points. Dow futures up 287. NASDAQ futures are higher by 219 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 14/32. The yield 1.49%. Yield on the 2-year 0.59%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 41 degrees in Central Park, and an accident off southbound New Jersey Turnpike has the exit 13 off-ramp closed. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Abortion rights are front and center at the Supreme Court. The justices will hear arguments today whether to uphold a Mississippi law that bans abortion after 15 weeks and overrule the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision. Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson.
What we do know is that there's a conservative majority, 6-3, on the Supreme Court, and many of these justices have been favoring restrictions on abortions.
The Supreme Court is also weighing challenges to a Texas law that bans abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. A woman has testified that she had repeated sexual contact with the disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein when she was 14 and that Ghislaine Maxwell was there when it happened. She is one of four alleged victims to testify against Maxwell at a New York City trial. The British socialite faces charges she recruited and groomed girls for Epstein to sexually abuse. Authorities say a 15-year-old sophomore opened fire at his Michigan high school, killing three students. Eight other people were wounded. Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard says investigators are still trying to determine a motive for yesterday's shooting at Oxford High School.
Preliminary investigation revealed that the weapon used in the shooting was purchased on November 26th, 4 days ago, by the boy's father.
Sheriff Bouchard says the suspect is not talking. The House panel investigating the January 6th U.S. Capitol riot is preparing to vote today on pursuing contempt charges against a former Justice Department official. Jeffrey Clark, who supports former President Trump, appeared for a deposition last month but refused to answer any questions. Meanwhile, former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has agreed to cooperate with the panel on a limited basis. CNN has suspended host Chris Cuomo. Documents released by the New York Attorney General's office showed he used his journalistic position to gather information about sexual harassment accusations against his brother, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashow.
Thanks, Nathan. With the Nets in first place in the East, the Knicks, the playoff team last season, it's a rivalry. The Nets' biggest crowd ever at Barclays. A lot of Knicks fans there. Tight game won by Brooklyn. 112-110. The Stars were out. James Harden, 34 points, a near triple-double. Kevin Durant finished strong at 27. Julius Randle, 24 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. But Randle was asked why he only attempted 2 free throws.
Got to ask them. I don't know what they're watching or what they're seeing, but you got to ask them. But like you said, as aggressive as I played, attacking the paint, you know, I can't be penalized for just being stronger than people. And that's the answer that I got today.
Randle was called for a costly technical foul late in the game. Nets took 25 free throws. The Knicks only 12. Phoenix beat Golden State, Suns' 17th win in a row. Lakers won without LeBron James. He's in COVID protocol. Devils gave Jack Hughes in just his third season an 8-year contract extension. Devils then lost at home to San Jose 5-2. College hoops, top-ranked Duke lost at Ohio State. Rutgers beat Clemson. Syracuse in double overtime over Indiana. Same score as the Knick Net game, 112-110. Jim Boeheim's two Suns combined for 53 points. The Giants say Daniel Jones played nearly the entire game last Sunday with a neck injury that may prevent him from playing this Sunday in Miami. The backup QB is Mike Glennon. Yankees cut ties with Rougned Odor and Clint Frazier. Odor just signed with Baltimore. Frazier with the Cubs. Javi Baez, who finished last season with the Mets, got 6 years, $140 million from Detroit. The baseball owner is expected to lock the players out at midnight tonight. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Goldman Sachs CEO has a word of warning for New York. David Solomon is telling city leaders to be mindful of the business environment or risk more companies sending workers elsewhere. In comments he made at a conference this week, Solomon said incentives matter, taxes matter, and cost of living matters. New York City's projected budget deficit for the next fiscal year shrank by $1.2 billion. Additional federal reimbursements boosted revenue. Strong investment returns also reduced expected pension spending. That's according to a financial plan released Tuesday. Well, the new Gateway commuter rail tunnel between New York and New Jersey has received final regulatory approval. That means the long-awaited project can begin construction once it gets federal funding. New York and New Jersey are splitting funding for the $12.3 billion Gateway project with the federal government. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that the CEO of United Health sees plenty of opportunities for the company to grow.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. AT&T shares hit a 12-year low as it sees a slowdown in growth.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB, Digital Radio in London. We are reporting on how the Omicron variant in the UK has lowered the chances of the Bank of England lifting interest rates in December.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit, and I'm reporting soaring commodity prices could push up the cost of batteries for electric cars.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For decades, Chile has been Latin America's most stable nation and one of its most prosperous. But much of that success has been thrown into question by recent political developments. After the first round of elections, the two frontrunners for the presidency are extremists, an ultra-conservative who seems nostalgic for the dictatorial rule of Augusto Pinochet, and a leftist who promises not merely to reform Chile's economic model, but to dismantle it. The consequences of the election could reach far beyond Chile's borders. For example, if Chile's economic model collapsed, it would cast a cloud over the region and call into question democracy's ability to deliver economic and social progress. Against the odds, and not just for Chile's sake, one must hope that a moderate signal lives beneath the extremist noise. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. Futures moving higher on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, clouds, low 40s today. Chance for a shower tomorrow, low 50s. By Friday, it'll be partly sunny and back in the upper 40s. Currently 41 degrees under a clear sky in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures rebounding this morning with S&P futures up 53 points, Dow futures up 301, and NASDAQ futures up 213. The DAX in Germany is up 1.6%. The 10-year Treasury down 15 32nds, yield 1.49%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.60%. NYMEX crude oil up 4.8%, up $3.17 at $69.35 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $10.40 at $1786.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1322 against the dollar. British pound 1.3307 against it 113.46. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you kindly. The Supreme Court will hear oral arguments today over the Mississippi law that bans abortion after 15 weeks. The case comes to a court with a 6-3 conservative majority. Authorities say a 15-year-old sophomore isn't talking to law enforcement after they say the suspect opened fire at his Michigan high school, killing 3 students. 8 other people were wounded. City Council member Andre Dickens won a runoff election yesterday to become Atlanta's next mayor, winning 64% percent of the vote over Felicia Moore at 36%. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Knicks 112-110. The Suns beat the Warriors 104-96. That is 17 straight wins for Phoenix. In the NHL, the Devils, Bruins, and Capitals all lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. We're almost at 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Want to take a few minutes to focus on the pandemic now as we continue to assess the potential impact of this new Omicron variant first identified in South Africa, and as the White House prepares for even more travel restrictions in response to the new strain. We're joined this morning by Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Dr. Ray, it's good to have you back with us. And before we talk more specifically about Omicron, I got to ask how things are looking as far as the pandemic itself, where you sit. I know you're in a major hospital in the Baltimore, Maryland region. How does the pandemic look right now?
Well, it's smoldering along. It's not spiking as severely as we've seen in the past, but we're still seeing a steady stream of cases. And so we remain concerned about what the winter holds, but we're holding our own at the moment.
Do you see any warning signs at this point that the Omicron variant could potentially overtake the Delta variant, which is so prevalent and has been for months in this country?
Well, I think that's the right way to frame it. I think it could, but we're seeing a big range of indicators. The genetics of the virus are very concerning. Omicron has features that we've seen in Alpha, Beta, and Delta, Alpha, Beta, and Gamma, and then also what we've seen in Delta. And so it's sort of a combination of dangerous features that could portend a real competition with Delta. And we also saw in focused areas in the regions where it was first recognized that it seemed to be competing with Delta, but the number of cases is too small to really draw a strong conclusion. So at this point, it has warning signs, and it's certainly spread to a dozen nations, but we need to see what it can do in the coming weeks.
As you said, we're holding our own. What are your concerns when it comes to the possibility of a winter surge of COVID, whether it comes from Delta, Omicron, or any other variant? Could we be headed that way, or are we at a point where we could continue holding our own even through the winter?
Well, I think it depends largely on behavior. I think we've come to a good place because of vaccination. We've got, you know, most Americans are vaccinated. As the variants become more infectious, the proportion we need to be vaccinated to really keep this under control is higher, but we are in a better place than we were last winter in the face of these kinds of variants. The challenge is, will people use the rapid tests that we now have available? Will they continue to use their masks when indoors? Will they do the things that we know help limit spread? I think that's the thing that will determine which way things head.
Well, we do know that the White House has imposed a travel ban on 8 countries in Southern Africa in response to Omicron. And we're hearing that later on this week, there are going to be even more travel restrictions, including a tougher testing requirement before you get on a plane, getting tested just one day before boarding rather than 3. Are those the kind of moves that make sense, the travel ban and the tougher restrictions when it comes to testing?
Well, I must admit I have a hard time mapping the travel ban onto the countries where this variant has been identified. So I'm not quite sure why Southern Africa has been targeted when so many other countries have had cases, and now there's some evidence of local spread in some other countries. And it doesn't restrict the movement of U.S. nationals. It's just people who aren't citizens. Other part of this that I think we're underutilizing is that rapid tests at the time of boarding might be more effective than the PCR tests, which are hard to obtain in many places, and there's a timing lag. So availability of the measures is an important part of this, and I think the horse is out of the barn with the travel bans unless they were really much more draconian, which I don't think people will tolerate.
Got about a minute left here, Doctor. Given all that we don't know yet about Omicron, how would you assess the response so far to this new variant? Has it been balanced or has it been a little overdone?
Well, I think it's a little overdone in terms of the amount of heat and light it's generating. I think it's important that we're vigilant, and I think it reinforces the importance of genomic epidemiology so that we know what's happening. We need to know our situation, and we need to be prepared. I'd love to not deal with this as a series of crises and rather a coherent approach, because the same measures that will limit spread of Delta will limit the spread of Omicron. We need to learn about the efficacy of our vaccines, but I think getting vaccinated and now three doses is the full series. I think it's pretty clear that's where we need to go.
Thanks for your insights, as always. Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A federal court in Louisiana blocked enforcement of the Biden administration's vaccine mandate for healthcare workers nationwide. A Kentucky federal court ruled that President Biden likely does not have the authority to mandate vaccines for federal contractors and their subcontractors. A federal judge in San Francisco threw out a $200 billion antitrust lawsuit against Apple, the makers of a COVID-19 contact tracing app, accused the tech giant of wrongly keeping the app off the Apple App Store.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching brings us to vaccine mandates, where the White House has suffered a setback. A federal court has blocked the Biden administration from forcing healthcare workers to get shots. That follows a court in Missouri blocking the White House from enforcing the same mandate in 10 states. For more on the issue, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Robert Field, a professor of law and health policy at Drexel University.
So why did a federal court in Missouri block the Biden administration from enforcing the mandate?
That mandate is issued through the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which runs Medicare and Medicaid, and the court felt that it overstepped its authority in requiring that hospitals that accept those programs impose a vaccine mandate on their workers. It felt that this was federal overreach, that it goes beyond what Congress authorized the agency to do. The court also went into some of the policy aspects, which is not really appropriate for a legal review, and said it will cause people to avoid healthcare jobs and it will cost a large amount of money to administer.
A federal judge in Florida declined to block the rule in a separate suit.
So we're in a funny legal world in terms of the mandates of whack-a-mole, where different courts are whacking different legal moles as the cases come up. Only the Supreme Court is really in a position to speak definitively to this issue. Until they do, it's going to be different district courts, which have limited geographic scope, and appeals courts that have limited geographic scope. None of them has the final say until the Supreme Court speaks. So it's not unusual in a case like this with national litigation to see different opinions from different courts.
And that's Drexel University law professor Robert Field speaking at the Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And S&P futures are up 54 points this morning. Dow futures up 310. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.